Okay, so a little change. We're going to do Purim today because the next Monday that we'll have will be already after Purim.
Oh, so wait, does that shave or not?
Shave, we'll speak about shaving after Purim.
Until
Purim. Yeah. There was some of the Israel that the Monday after. Okay. Okay, Purim has several mitzvahs related to it. The mitzvah of the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Mishloach Manos. Matanos Vayavyonim. And Sudas Purim. So I guess what we'll do is we'll go through each of these four things and discuss the major highlights of each one. Okay, now we know that it's our practice to lay in the Megillah twice, at night and in the daytime. But it's interesting that pointed out, Achronim, whatever, point out that it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, the Megillah, the concept of reading it at night. That's all we mentioned in the Maraim, Rav Shua Belevi. Hayav Adam, the Kras of Megillah, Balayla Shanosu Bayom. Then you need to read at night and repeat it again in the day. And that we don't have a concept of in Mishnah of reading it at night. That was a later takana. In fact, the Mefarshim point out that there's a Mishnah in Megillah around Daf Chaf that speaks about in Masechta Megillah about all the mitzvahs that you do balayla. That you can do it the whole night, and it's listing all the night mitzvahs that there are, and doesn't mention Mikra Megillah. Because that was a later takana. So the Iker of Megillah is Bayom. It's interesting because a lot of times people are more, the shul sometimes, I guess people who are mamish medaktik with mitzvahs, they're there in the night and they're in the day. But in the more traditional places, you know, Purim at night is like a big deal. And the day, you know, it's not. But really, it's pointed out that the Iker mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. The Iker mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. And some say that that's a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. There are three types of mitzvahs. There's mitzvah d'oraisa. There's mitzvah d'rabbana, and the divrei kabbalah. Mitzvah d'oraisa is the five chamisha chumshei Torah. You know, tefillin, mezuzah, tzitzis, those are mitzvahs d'oraisa. Mitzvah d'rabbana is not found in chumash like Neiris Chanukah. But then there's a concept of divrei kabbalah, and divrei kabbalah are mitzvahs that are not found in chumash, but perhaps found in the rest of Tanakh. So we have a tradition, they're in the Kabbalah, and so one example that some, when they say, Achronim say, is Mikra Megillah, that it's Divrei Kabbalah, because it's found in Megillah Esther. The Yom Ha'elin is Karim Menasim, that you should be maskir the Megillah by reading the Megillah. So therefore, that mitzvah is a mitzvah that is Divrei Kabbalah. So that's why there's a discussion that the post can say that Divrei Kabbalah maybe has a status like a Daraisa. And what's one of the nafkaminas that's brought down is the following: whether a bar mitzvah boy could read the Megillah. Why? What's the problem? Because a bar mitzvah boy is considered a gadol. He's mitzuvah mitzvahs. Now, in order to be considered a gadol, you need two things. You need shanim v'simanim. You have to have 13 years in one day, plus two hairs by the Machama Erva to be considered you a gadol. So the fact that he's a birthday, so that's, we know, but how do we know that the person reached a physical maturity? So we have a thing called Chazaka de Rava. That's a Gemara Biga. That's the Chazaka of Rava. And Rava's Chazaka is that if a person reached the 13 years, we assume he has the hairs as well. That's called Chazaka de Rav. But Chazaka de Rav, the post can point out, we only use for Dinim de Rabbanim. We don't rely on it for Dinim de Raisa. So we're not going to let a 13-year-old bar mitzvah boy be like an eight kiddushin at a wedding. Because we don't know. Maybe he really is still a cotton. And if he's a cotton, he's not a kosher eight. Right? So therefore we're not going to let him read the Mi'anate. So the question is, now we know that in this day and age, bar mitzvah boys all lay in their bar mitzvah parsha, right? Because we assume Kriyas HaTorah is only a din d'rabbanan. So since Kriyas HaTorah is only a din d'rabbanan, So for a din d'rabbanan, it's good enough. The chazak is good enough that we assume that he reached the proper age and the proper physical maturity. But if something is daraisa, so if you assume that the kriyas hamigillah in the daytime is daraisa, meaning because it's divrei kabbalah, because the pasuk says it's mentioned in Megillas Esther, v'yom ha'il in the skar v'nasim, so b'meila. That goes to show you that we treat it like a din d'oraisa, therefore we wouldn't let a bar mitzvah boy lay in the Megillah. So at night, when it's only drabban on the Mikra Megillah at night, so that would be more makom. But in the daytime, it would be more machmer. That's assuming that the Mikra Megillah is divrei Kabbalah. Rav Shachter once pointed out that there's a tshuva from the Tribina, the Dovev Mishorim, where he points out, based on, I think, Rashi and Tainis, that it could be that Mikra Megillah is not Divrei Kabbalah. Because the pasuk, when it mentions it, it says, Vayamim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim. So that's not a Lashon Tzivoy. That's a Lashon of Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. It doesn't say Tikras ha'Megillah. You know, it's not a Lashon Tzivoy. So it could be even the Mikra Megillah Bayom is only the Rabbanim. And if that would be the case, then he would be allowed. This discussion comes out also if the Bar Mitzvah boy, is Bar Mitzvah, is Shabbos Bar Mitzvah, is Shabbos Zohar. So if it's Shabbos Zohar, so then it's also a question of what do you do when it's Shabbos Zohar. So this Shabbos Zohar is, according to some poskim, is also Daraisa, Parsha Zohar. So then some are Machmir, that the Bar Mitzvah boy could read his Parsha, but he shouldn't read the Maftir. The Maftir, because the Maftir could be a Daraisa. And others disagree and say, no, who says reading it is a... Well, that's part of the discussion as well. So this is the Chazaka de Rava that Kol Shehigia Lechlal Shanim Higia Lechlal Simon. If anyone reached the age, so most probably he also reached the physical maturity. Okay, so that's So that's Kriyasim. Now, Kriyasim Megillah, we hold that you have to hear the whole Megillah, Mitchila Vatsof. You have to hear the whole Megillah, Mitchila Vatsof. However, we have a leniency that if you miss the word, you could read it by yourself, even though you don't have a Kosher Megillah in front of you. Because, and the Rambam explains, it's based on the fact that the Gemara says Megillah nikrates Sefer, the nikrates Igeres. Right? In other words, sometimes it's called a Sefer, the Megillah sometimes is called a Igeres. So Sefer is mashma very formal. And an Igeres is like a letter, it's informal. So therefore, we basically say it's formal, you have to read it from a cloth, but it's informal that if you read part of it not in a cloth, you yotze. That's how the Ramban takes off from the Gemara. So, but in other words, if you miss the word, you have to say it by yourself, but you have to say it in the context. You can't just say, oh, I missed the word shanim, whatever. So I'll just say the word shanim. You know, you have to then, well, you missed the word, then the Baal Kor is keeping going. So then you have to keep saying it, because the word that you missed has to be in its proper context. Okay, so that's why you have to hear all the words. That's why I always try to get a good night's sleep, Purim night, because a lot of times people stay up with all these hagigas and all these things, and they stay up, and then they doze off in the middle of the Megillah in the daytime, and then you just doze off for 1 second, and you miss the word. And then once you miss the word, you know, okay, you can catch up, but then you gotta, you know, it's not, then you put yourself into a very difficult situation. So you should try to hear the Megillah by Laila. You're supposed to hear it by Laila, by Yom, and hear every single word. Okay, so that's the first message. The second one, Mishloach Manos. So Mishloach Manos we assume that it has to be food items. And Manos plural, so it has to be two food items, Ish L'Reyehu, from one person to his fellow Jew. So it has to be. Now, Pashut Pshat, a lot of people were taught when they were little kids that it has to be two separate brachos. But that's not really the case. But technically speaking, you can give a piece of meat and a piece of chicken, and they're two different species. So even though they're both shahako, you would say shalach manos. So you're supposed to send a minimum of two manos to one person. And you can do more, obviously. There's a discussion whether you can put a drink, like, say, a piece of meat and a bottle of wine. So the Magen Avraham paskins that a bottle of wine also is good. That counts as one of the manos. But we assume, like the Truma Sadeshin writes, that it has to be food items. It can't just be it's a rainy day, you give the guy an umbrella and a box of yodels. So that doesn't work. An umbrella with a box of yodels, that doesn't work. Because that's not too, that's not food items. Rav Shechter mentioned from, based on different sources, that it should be something that's right for the Suda, or something like that. But it's also, as like Rav Shechter pointed out, it should be something mechubad. It shouldn't just be like a couple of potato chips and some jelly beans. You know, it should be something nice. It doesn't have to be crazy fancy, but mechubad is a good thing, you know, as well. Rav Shechter likes to point out from the Bach. The Bach has an interesting opinion. He says that if you invite somebody to your Suda's Purim, so then you yotze shalach monos because you're providing him food. right? You're giving him chicken, you're giving him, there'll be a lot of different courses at the meal. So you yotze by invite, but the Bach's Kiddush is, not only is the host yotze, but the guest is also yotze, even if the guest didn't bring food. Because the idea of Shalach Manos is to bring, in other words, to have camaraderie through food. So even though you're not the giver of the food, but you're eating together with the other guy, perhaps you hear yotze as well. We normally don't assume that way. We normally assume that that if you're going to be a guest by somebody, you should also give a Shalach Manos to somebody during the day of Purim as well. But there is that shita of the Bach. Okay, so that's Mishloach Manos Ishtoreyeh.
As far as Rabbi Yehuda Suda, is it a common place to have like any Suda, so would some dairy not be as fit for Mishloach Manos?
I mean, you're saying that a lot of times people eat it, if you want to write for the Suda, if you're having a fleshik Suda, unless you say you could eat the milchik first, technically, except for the Zohar. The Zohar says in one meal, you shouldn't have milchik even before the fleshik. That's supposed to happen in one meal.
So you should try to give meat and wine.
Yeah, but sometimes like people give these salami sandwiches, and the time you get it, it's like disgusting. So, but you have like pieces of salami that's in a plastic container, you buy from the store that's not even open, and then you can just open it and eat it. So that's something good. And then Matanos Lavyonim, and the Chayyadim says it's more important to be Marbev Matanos Lavyonim than Shalach Manos. Supposed to give two matanos to two avyonim. So some say the Ritva says matan is a pruta, but Rav Shtermach says it's hard to believe you could be yotze with a pruta b'zman hazeh, because what is he going to do with a pruta? How much he can get with a pruta? So some say that it should be the amount that you can have a suda. So two matanos would be matanos la'avyonim, so you would give, so how many would that be? Two matanos to two avyonim. So how much? Do you have a Mr. Brewer here?
Not sure.
Yeah, okay. So so what would that be? How much would a Suda be? How much would it cost a Suda today? How much?
575.
About 575.
So that's a big time can go.
Yeah. So what would that mean? So what would make Matanos Lavyonim therefore mean?
It
would be 1150. Together. It would be what? Two Matanos to two Avyonim.
One or one to one?
Yeah, so what is it?
I don't know. It sounds like it's two to one.
That's what I want to check. I think you want to get one too. In other words, so you have. So if you assume that a suit is like for $5 to $10, so you give it to two aniyim, right? So there would be two gifts of $10. So, and they say if you give, Rav Goodman said, if you give to a stock organization, like I collect usually from a Tanis Lavionu, so if you long you give them enough money, they'll distribute it and it'll be okay. You don't necessarily have to give to two different. If you want, you can. But you don't have to. And that's considered. Some say the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in his Sefer on Chumash Apiryon says that the Ikir Mitzvah Purim is the Matanos Lavion, and the Shalach Manos is not to Mevayish the Anim. That's because if everyone's getting stuff, so the Anim won't feel self-conscious that they're being given to, because everyone's giving things. So it happens to be that the things that everyone else is getting a food item, they can get cash. But still, the fact that everyone's giving things, it's not as noticeable that it's given to, it's not as noticeable that it's given to the aniyim. So that's why it's, so that's what he says, that it's really, the Ikir Mitzvah is the Matanos Lavionim, and the Shalach Manos is just to camouflage the Matanos Lavionim, so no one should be embarrassed, which is an interesting approach. That's one of the reasons why the Gemara says we don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, is because the Aniyim would always know that at Mikra Megillah time, that's when they would get their money. And if you lay on Shabbos, then no one could bring money. There are other reasons why we don't lay on Shabbos, because you might carry the Megillah, etc. But one of the reasons that's given is
Is there a working definition for who constitutes as an Evyon?
Yeah, it's hard to.
We have
an idea of Kol Poshet Yad, and during the year we have to check people out more, but on Purim it's Kol Poshet Yad Nosim Lo, but we try to usually rely on the stock organizations to know who's in great need.
So if someone asks for money and you give it to them, that wouldn't count as going towards Montana?
Yeah, in other words, just because Kol HaPoshei Yad Nosim Lo doesn't mean that if he's not an Evyon, that he'll be Yosef.
Right.
So that's an interesting point. It's brought down in the Sfarim that Purim is a time of Tefillah. And that's also included in the Kol HaPoshei Yad Nosim Lo. Our relationship with God. If we put our hands out to God and ask Him for something on Purim, it's considered a greater time to our tefillahs could be mekubal. Kol HaPoshei Yad Nosim Lo. It's an interesting notion. Okay, so that's the Matanos Lavioni. Okay.
I don't know if we discussed it, but where did the mitzvah actually come from?
What do you mean?
Why? Why did we do that?
So some say we do it. Well, thank you. I'm so sorry.
We haven't been there since they moved it upstairs.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me just, I'll get to your question in a second, okay? Here. It says, Chayav Chalon Mitein Lefachos Shtei Matanos L'Shnei Yanim. Shtei Matanos El Medina. Rabbeinu Butav Shinim. Yeah, I think it means each one gets one matana. That's two matanos. So the shnei anim.
So one to one,
one to one. Yeah, one, right? I think that's the simple pshat. Shnei matanos el medina. Then he writes, Bemes mutav harbos matanos lavyonim. Right, that's from the Rambam and the Chayyadim. And then he points out another thing. Shnei matanos tzarich litein mishalov lo mishal maisa. Matanos lavyonim, you're not supposed to give from your maisa ksafin money. If you have maisa ksafin money, that's supposed to be regular tzedakah. But the but this is yeah, I think that's the Pashup Shad, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, the Pasuk says, Mishloch Manos Yisrael Matanos Lavyonim, but the point is that it's brought down that Haman, you know, accused the Jewish people that they were a disunified nation, Amecha Mefuzo Meforad, so to show that we're not disunified and we...
So that's both for...
Yeah, so that's what Matanos Lavyonim and Mishloach Manos. Either, you know, there's a whole discussion whether that's for the Sud or for Reyes. It could also be for the Mishloach Manos as well. Okay. Now, Sudas Purim. A couple of things. First of all, Sudas Purim has to be Bayom. The mitzvah of Sudas Purim is not Balayla, it's Bayom. Some say there's a mitzvah to eat the Suda also the night before. So it's like Purim will be like Shabbos, or Yom Tov, you have two meals, you don't have Shal Shudas on Purim, but you know, to have a meal at night, to wash at night, have a meal and to have a day. But the Pashut Trad is a mitzvah Bayom. That's why the verse says Sudas Purim. If you ate the Sudas Purim at night, you're not Yotze. You have to eat the Sudas Purim. That's why sometimes people, you know, they get so involved in the excitement of the day and they wash, it's even after Shkia, they first wash with the Sudas Purim. So that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is obviously to wash way before, to have the meal, most of the meal, if not all the meal, before Shkia. Some have a minute to extend it through the night, but you're supposed to have the Iker meal at night. By day, sorry, you're supposed to have the Iker meal by day. Not by night. You're supposed to have the Iker meal by day. If it extends into the night, there's a far bring down to some minion like that also. But sometimes what people do is they end up washing like after Shkia, so that's not a good thing to do. Post-compared days, you should have meat at the meal. It's a question whether he's supposed to wash or not, the Machlokas, the Marshal, Magen Avraham. We assume that you wash for Sudas Purim. That's usually the minhag, is to wash for Sudas Purim. But there's a discussion about that. Now, the Gemara says, the famous Gemara, Chayav Inish Levesumi Bepuraya Adel Lo Yoda Ben Ora Harmer Lebarach Mordechai. He's supposed to get drink in Purim. Right. So the Rambam, the Bishnu Rav points out from the Rambam that the Rambam brings this din in the context of the mitzvah of Suda, which would imply that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of drinking in Purim is only in the Suda. But it wouldn't apply to the rest of the day, and certainly wouldn't apply at night. So that's something that's important to keep in mind. That Suda's Purim, the drinking, you know, is not Balayla, and it might not even be during the Yom, only in the Suda. And there are different opinions whether Ramos says it means that you drink a little bit so you get drowsy, and when you'll be drowsy or sleeping, then you won't be able to differentiate. And some want to say, no, maybe it means kipshuto, to really get drunk. And then the Beis Yosef, of course, Dor Chaskayim, no, it can't mean that. It's a to get drunk. So there are different opinions, and different communities have different ways of doing. But the most important thing is that if you're going to drink, whatever you drink, don't drive. That's the, you know, and then there's no mitzvah if you're going to throw up, and that's a result also. That's not part of the mitzvah. So you have to do it within reason. But some just pass it like the Ramah, and some say it's more significant. So whatever you do, you should just do it safely. That's in a public way. And that's what the Gemara says. I don't finish the sun bright and the yoda and our home on the Baruch Mordechai. And Purim is nice to have guests at the Suda if you can. And as I said, Rav Shaktu points out from the Bach that if you invite someone to the Suda, so the way Rav Shaktu understands the Bach, that's the ultimate of Shalach Maris. Like Rav Shaktu points out from the Bach, that the idea is like Shalach Maris. Is it like, you know, much like if it's a birthday party and one child is sick, he couldn't come, so you pack a bag up so he could feel as if he was there. But like Rosh Hashanah pointed out, but if he's not, so that's what Shalach Manas says, Rosh Hashanah pointed out. But Rosh Hashanah pointed out, he's on the Bach, but if his mom is there, then that's the best thing. But the Maisa, again, the minig is that even if you have people who guess, the minig is to give out a Shalach Manas and for both the guests and the recipient not to just rely on the suda. But in theory, that's a good idea. We say al hanisim in Purim, in the davening and in the benching. If you miss it, you don't have to go back. Purim is considered the man of Kabbalah HaTorah. Kimu v'kibu. Kimu, the pasuk says Kimu v'kibu. Ki, and the Gemara Dashans in Shabbos, Kimu mashekiblu tfar. They reaffirmed what they already accepted at Har Sinai. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, why did they have to accept the Torah again? At Purim time, what was wrong with the first Kabbalah of Torah and Shavuos? Right? So the Gemara says, well, it was under duress. It's Tafalev Hakigigis. It was under duress. And then the question is, why was it under duress? Didn't they say Nafsa and Nishma? That's not, it doesn't sound like it's under duress. So the two standard answers given to that question. Tosa says that the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought that even though they said Nasa V'Nishma, but he thought that they were going to get nervous the last second, they were going to get cold feet. Last second they were going to get cold feet, that they, you know, when they see all the fireworks, they're going to chicken out. So therefore he had to make sure they were forced to the last second. That's the Tosis and Shabbos gives that answer. But the Medrash Tanchuma says a different answer. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the Pshat is that Nasav and Nishma was going on Torah Shebichsav, which is relatively easy, just reading the five books of Moses. But Torah Shebichsav is a much greater commitment. Well, of Shas and Mishnah, it's a bigger thing. It's much more. So there, Hashem had to like force them into it, because that's not so easy to accept. So the Gemara says, since they were forced into it, it wasn't a full Kabbalah. But since it wasn't a full Kabbalah, they needed to reaccept it again in the time of Purim. So in essence, Purim was the reacceptance of Torah Shabbat Peh in the time of Purim. So they reaccepted the Torah. Then what is the person like? Yudim Haisa Ora, the Simcha, the Sasan Vikar. So Ora is Torah. Ora the Simcha. What Simcha? Yantif. Sasan is what? As the Gemara said, Bris Mila. And Vikar is what? Tefillin. So all those things were included there. So the Sfas Emes asked the famous question, so why didn't the Pasuk just say Yantif Tefillin? Why did it hide it? Like Yudim Haisa Ora. If Ora means Torah, Ora is Torah. Ora, the Simcha is Yantif. Sasanokyal Mersech is Mila. Vikar is Tefillin. That's what the word Dash is in Mesech Megillah. So why did the Gemara have to say that? Why did the word, if it meant to just say it, why you didn't have so Torah, you have to meal and fill? So if I do the Sasanas gives a classic answer that the Pshat was that not that they weren't necessarily doing these things before, but they didn't realize that Torah is over. Because part of the acceptance is to understand that when you have Torah in your life, so that's going to light up your life. And that's what it means. When you have Yantif in your life, that's going to give you Simcha. Mila Sasso, Tfilah Zikar. So it's not just the acceptance of the mitzvah. The acceptance of the mitzvah, the realizing that you're going to have these attributes, that if you have these things in your life, then you're going to have a life of light and happiness and honor, etc. This year is different than most years. Most years we have Tiny Sester, and right after Tiny Sester we have the Megillah. So this year, certain year, it's a little easier because you're not having the Megillah while you're fasting. Why do we do that normally? Why don't we go home, break the fast, and come back to the Megillah?
What?
If we get to come back. In other words, there's halacha that you never eat a meal before you do a mitzvah. But don't you do that all the time? Don't you go to the 10 o'clock Meyer fair and you eat dinner first? So the post can say, well, if you have a Meyer that's a mini kavua that you go to every night, mini kavua means the mini kavua and your attendance to the mini kavua. It's not enough that the mini kavua, it means that your attendance to the mini has to be kavua also, or else it's not a mini kavua. So then you'll make them. But the bits of Purim, if we go home, break the fast, you might forget to come back. So that's why the we have it though. Yeah.
But technically, the mitzvah is during the day for Kriyas Megillah. So, what? Why should we be really concerned?
But there is a mitzvah drabanan at night. There still is a mitzvah drabanan at night. It's a mitzvah drabanan at night, just like Hanukkah. You're not supposed to eat dinner before you light the Hanukkah candles. It's only drabanan, but still drabanan. There's still an iser, even by mitzvah drabanan. But on Shabbos, it's a different type of situation because you can, we have Tainus Hester on Thursday, and then we have the Megillah. We also have a minhag of Seichel and Machtzis HaShekel. We do that on Tainus Hester. How much do we hear for that? $1.50. Put $1.50 in the thing and you pick up, they have usually the three coins together, you pick it up, you put it back down. Because the Machtzis HaShekel, they assume that our shekel is the unit of currency. So we have currency of dollars. So Machtzis is a half. Half a dollar, 50 cents, and we have three machtzis shekels that they gave, so that's $1.50. So you can give more, you can put $2 in them, but at least to give $1.50, and it's a zeichel, it's not the real, machtzis, it's a zeichel, machtzis shekel, and the shekel is going down, it's not the real machtzis shekel, and we do that on Tainus Hester. Says the reason why we have a Suda on Purim and we don't have a Suda on Hanukkah is because on Hanukkah there was just a spiritual attempt to annihilate the Jewish people. Purim was a physical thing. So therefore, that's why we celebrate the physical aspect of having a Suda. Okay. Any questions about Purim Day itself? So we could talk about maybe Parsha Zachar a little bit. If unless you have any questions you want to bring up about Purim itself. Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard all the time from Kabbalah that Purim is actually like the holiest day of the year. And that if you ask God, He'll answer your prayer.
Yeah, that's what we said. There's a concept that... mentioned the Bradel Alaka, the Purim is called Haposhet Yad Nostin Lo. Haposhet Yad. Anyone who sticks out his hand to give another during the year. You don't necessarily have to give. If he's naughty, that's one thing. There's a bad for them. But if he's not, somebody else, and you think maybe he's not a Jew, you don't have to give. But Purim, you just give anyone who asks, he's supposed to give. So the Hasidic is far right, the same thing we learn is between us and God. We put our hands out to God, ask him for something, he'll give it to us also.
But what makes it so inherently holy that you can do it this on Purim, but not on, you know, Yom Kippur or Pesach? Or, you know, Pesach,
yeah, I mean, also brought down from the Arizal that Yom Purim, that Yom Kippur is Yom
Kippurim,
which means that Purim is on, and the, I think the Gemara brings down from the Gra, that what's the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur? Because usually when you have a Yontif, so you're supposed to split the Yontif, Chatzi Chatzio Hashem, Chatzio Lochem. That half the day you spend shul davening, learning, and half the day eating. Right? That's what the Rambam says. You do it a regular Yontif. He tells you exactly how to split up the day. He spends X amount of hours in shul, and then you go home, and you eat X amount of the day. It's basically 50-50. So the Vilna Gaon explains, but Yom Kippur, you spend the whole day in shul. There's no eating. So there's no chetzi on Yom Kippur. So the answer is, if you put Purim together and join them together and view them like one day, so Purim will be like Kulo Lachem, so to speak, and Yom Kippur is Kulo Hashem, and if you look at it as one unit, it's Chetzi Hashem, Chetzi Lachem. Because the Purim part is the Lachem part, and the Yom Kippur part is the Lachem part. So, right, and it's brought down also the concept of that in the time of Purim. You see, the Rambam brings it down in Sefer Bereishis. Miriam quotes it. We say it in the Shoshanas Yaakov, L'hodia kol kovecha lo yevoshu. Kol kovecha means anyone who beseeches God won't be put down, won't be disappointed. So that's the, because the Jews, you see, in the time of Purim, they beseeched Hashem, they were answered. So L'hodia shekol kovecha lo yevoshu, v'lo yikal mula netzach. So, in a certain sense, Purim has that holiness. Even though it's not in, there's no issue in Balacha, I mean, it's better if you can take off from work and be involved in the holidays. But it's, you know, you can turn on the lights on Purim, etc. It's not like Shabbos. It's interesting, Yerushalmi says that the whole month, really, the person's going away before Purim is not going to have a Megillah. He can read the Megillah the whole month. That's what Yerushalmi says. So you see from there that this point out that the whole month is a month of Simcha. And this year we have two others.
So you read them both either?
What?
You read them both?
Yeah, so the Gemara says, why do we read the Megillah the second Adar? Why don't we celebrate Purim the second Adar? Because to make Purim connected to Pesach. But technically speaking, you should have read it when? The first Adar, because Ein Mavirim Ala Mitzvahs. That you pass by the first Adar, then you should have read it then. Ein Mavirim Ala Mitzvahs. So... So the mice, the fact that we want to make it close to the mismach gula l'gula's adif, that trumps the idea of doing it in the first adif. So the Truma Sedeshin says, but it comes out according to this, like for a yortzeit, it should be the first adif. Because really the first adif is the one it should be, because ein mavir mala mitzvahs. It's just that since we want it to be close to Pesach, so we make it, but that only applies to the Purim. But anything else should really be in the first order. So that's what Truma Sedeshin Paskins do in the first order. And the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says to do it the second order. And the Vilna Gaon says you can do it both. So so different menhagim on what to do.
The davening
what?
Shkia.
Shkia?
I mean, not Shkia, I mean
Vesikin,
sorry.
Vesikin.
Yeah.
Well, Vesikin, you know, is a time that Kadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, the tefillah is on the highest level, you know, when the, you know, so therefore, so if you say Purim is a Yom Tefillah, so that's why some daven Vesikin, because it's the time that it's more likely that Hashem will accept the tefillah than it's the time Hashem anyway is accepting tefillah, so therefore you want to do it the best possible time. So that's the way. What else? Any other questions? Oh, another thing I always tell guys, and I always remind people of this, and that is brought down in the post-game, that in Purim you should wear weekday shabbos. Whereas you shouldn't wear your regular weekday clothing. You know, shabbos you wear a suit and jacket, that you should wear that in Purim as well. The Purim is a yontif in that regard.
Not costume?
Yeah, you can wear a costume part of the time, but basically you're wearing big the shabbos. You're not in your costume. You're wearing big the shabbos. The same thing is brought down in Chol HaMoed, that you're supposed to dress up nicer in Chol HaMoed. That you shouldn't just wear weekday clothing in Chol HaMoed. Those are the two times that people don't realize that they should really be dressing up more than the regular weekday. It's Purim and Chol HaMoed, they don't realize that that's such a halacha. So, you know, so a person dresses a certain way during the week. So on Purim, it should be you know, she wear big shabbos in Purim. So that's another point. Because it is like a yontif, it's a special day, like you said. It's Yom Kippurim, it's like a special day for tefillah, it's a special day. So it is a time to dress in a certain way. Okay. Okay, any other questions? And again, Purim is a time of, you know, of Avos Yisrael, just as we said, that Chomer complained, which, you know, I'm back on the four zone for it, that the Jewish people are splintered, so you have to show that. And it's interesting, the Megillah, it says, we associate with the bad Purim, I hate them, is my name, and it said Divrei Shalom Be'emes, something like that. So the Meshech Chachma points out that even though from the word is my name, you learn out in the beginning that there are a lot of there are five different days you can read the Megillah. Right, Yud Aleph, the Megillah, Likras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tzvav. But Divrei Shalom Be'emes means that, but there's no machlokas here, because everyone agrees that if you're from this place, you read it this day, that place. So it's not a machlokas. So you see, you can have different opinions, different, do a different time, but not be a machlokas. There's no Moses going to do, because everyone knows that the people who are in one city, the Zman Yishon Renun, they do it at Tezvav. The people who are not, do it in Yidal. The people who have been a foreign, they can do it at Yidal. Get off your base, etc. So those are the times. So in Israel, they do Purim in Yerushalayim, rather they do Purim on Tzvav, because that's Kafas Chomer, Mos Yeshua Benun. There's a whole different questions whether you're being part of the day here, part of the day there. You know, you have to do two Purims. You go to Yerushalayim, you'd be there for the second day, but some you have to, now you're there on Lotz HaShachar. So then you have to, or some say no, the Rosh Hashachar only is where you are in the Rosh Hashachar of your dollars determines where you, the halacha for both days. So that's a whole discussion in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes it's a suffix because there's the old city, but then places that are close proximity are also can be included in that. And the question is, how far do we go with that? With that, so there are certain communities that have some, status of when to read the Megillah.
I know for the Sarah, since we were considering the year of Yerushalayim, we did it.
When did you do it?
We did it in Yudah.
You did it in Tezvav. Yeah, but I said we did it in Tezvav.
Because we're in part of Yerushalayim, we don't have air up here in Yerushalayim.
I can't hear you.
I said we're considering part of it. It's
just part of
Yerushalayim.
Maybe
it doesn't have its own mayor.
The
mayor is of Yerushalayim.
Okay, Rosh, I want to wish everyone a good chazara of everything we did and a good Purim. If Al Bezer Shem be here in Purim, anyone wants to stop by from Purim to our apartment, you're welcome to stop by to say hello. And Bezer Shem, we have other topics that we'll be doing after Purim, like shaving and. We have to see the order now, but other things that we'll be doing with Hashem. Okay, so I wish everyone well.
Sure.